and welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will, and this is the internet's most preferential music podcast. On the show this week, I'm joined by James.
Hello.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this episode, we're going to be reviewing the new album from Sheer Mag. We've got the upcoming releases you need to know about, but first, the news. James, what have you got for us this week?
This week, I just wanted to highlight a piece of software that I've seen floating about, which might be interesting. It might be a good thing, it might be a bad thing. So yeah, let's dive in. So the company Oculus has unveiled an AI-driven, future music royalties calculation tool. And they say, quote unquote, it will remove months of labor-intensive work for labels and investors. So basically, this is a tool where you can put in a song. I believe you can put in a song that hasn't come out yet, but it uses like the artist and stuff as well, information and stuff. Or you can put in a song that already exists on like a streaming service. And it will predict how it will perform in like month's time, a couple of months' time, a year's time, etc. And this is, well, Oculus has framed it as like it's something for artists so they can get a better understanding of how much they should be paid for their music. The company says that the information Oculus AI provides is crucial both for artists negotiating deals, but also for labels, VC funds, and banks acquiring music catalogs. But I think the massive thing to highlight is that Oculus also have their own cryptocurrency, their own coin called Opal. And they also have these things called, I have to get the name of it now, music fungible tokens, which are basically NFTs, but music. So they are also using this to drive how, I don't really know how it works, but to predict how music will perform in the future. And obviously that has a kind of correlation with cryptocurrency and stocks and all of that stuff. So yeah, that's something to highlight. They obviously have their hand in cryptocurrency and stuff like that, so yeah, you have to kind of think about that before getting so excited about this tool. But it does seem interesting. The people who have invested in Opal and Opal members, I haven't gone into it too much, will have like first access to this, or like have special features. But I think there might be a free tier at some point. But yeah, I just thought it was quite an interesting tool. And if it is something that gets picked up, or maybe it's something that kind of gets copied, but on a better scale, then yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm interested in what kind of information this is taking into account. Because if it is just being trained on, like, here's a song and here's, you know, it's listening, it's like royalty history, and then using that to predict the future, I feel like that's missing a lot of important kind of things that can change that kind of stuff, like the chance of it being picked up by a particular playlist, and potentially, like, you know, other aspects that aren't just to do with that song itself and the music that's kind of existing in it. So I don't know how accurate it's going to be. I would imagine for kind of big pop songs, it's going to do a lot better than for kind of niche things, particularly in the age of TikTok, where it can probably reasonably easily identify a 10-second clip that might work in that kind of context. But I don't know for like smaller, well, not necessarily just for smaller artists, but for kind of the artists more in the space that we review and we look at more of the time, I don't know how much use it'd actually be, or how accurate it'd be.
Yeah, it. I don't know. I feel like there's obviously more nuance that goes into kind of the popularity of songs and things like that, because I think as well, there's things about kind of cultural moments or things that happen in the news that then impact how certain songs are received, particularly if they have certain themes. If music is used in a popular TV show or a film, you know, there's so much that I think AI can't predict with that. I think there are kind of definitely elements that will be interesting to see what it kind of comes out with. But I don't know, I think there's, with something like music, where there's such like a human reaction to it, that if, with certain songs, there's like a real organic movement that comes with it to make it popular. I don't think necessarily you can write a code that will predict those things. That being said, I don't understand AI. I don't understand NFTs. I didn't realize MFTs were a thing until you literally said it, James. So
they're not. It's all made up.
I don't understand not a thing. Anything about AI, crypto, all of that. So it's all beyond me. But I don't know. I think it'll be an interesting kind of experiment, but I don't know how much like weight could be put behind it.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. There's so much that goes on in the music world, and things that are directly happening in the music world, like, I don't know, the news or just things happening in the world can affect how songs are picked up. And it's just something that AI hasn't been trained on, like these random forces of nature in the world that can, yeah, change how songs perform. But I imagine, like, yeah, those bigger artists, those albums that you know are going to be big are going to be predicted like accurately. But at the same time, maybe they won't. Maybe this artist gets in a feud with someone and they don't perform very well, or they get boycotted or whatever. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Right, let's get on to our review for this week. We're looking at Playing Favorites by Sheer Mag. Released on the 1st of March 2024 on Third Man Records. It's their debut for a record label. Their previous albums have been self-released, although I think they might have been put out on a label in international markets. I believe this is their like proper label debut. It's their third album. It's 11 tracks long and clocks in at 37 minutes. What do we think of this album? James, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I thought this was a really solid, really interesting album this week. I think the main thing that this album has going for it is that it blends a load of genres, or mainly rock, together, but other things too. And I think it blends those things really well. You can hear the classic rock influences, you can hear the blues influences, and sometimes even like heavier rock influences getting into metal stuff, which I thought was really cool. And that, yeah, that happens basically throughout the whole thing, and I don't think it's really done badly. I think it's done really well. The things that come with it include like amazing guitar, amazing bass work, like just awesome instrumentation, and like just the band as a whole sounds really cool. I think the thing I'm more on the fence on is the vocals. I think the vocals work like at the beginning because they still feel fresh, but I think maybe I need more time with the album. But throughout the album, I started feeling that they got a bit like grating, they got a bit harsh, and maybe I wanted something a bit softer, something a bit different, I guess. But I mean, that didn't really take away from the album too much for me. It's just a little bit of a nitpick, I guess. But yeah, I think she had an amazing vocal. She had amazing vocals in general, and her writing was really good. Like, I definitely haven't delved into the lyrics enough this week, but with what I heard, I really felt like they were well written. They're really like visual, and they painted a picture of her history or the narrator's history, but also painted a picture as in you could see what she was singing about. And kind of what, like I hinted on earlier, I did feel like a bit of fatigue as well, like especially in that second half. I don't know, the energy or just something kind of just stayed the same, and I felt like I wasn't taken to it in a different direction for me to get involved or get like invigorated. But that might have just been my mood. this week. But yeah, as a whole, I really enjoyed the album, and I think it tried different things and it did it well.
Elle, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said, James. There's a lot to like about this album, and I also enjoyed those kind of different influences that come in, all kind of centered around rock, pop rock. You know, it's not bringing anything kind of really left field in, but what it is bringing in, like you said, James, it does well. You know, those kind of blues bits, there's some prog elements that I really enjoyed, kind of a personal preferencing. I really like prog, and I think that they kind of moved in that direction in a way that I kind of wish they'd done a little bit more with. I agree with you, James, that it's like a fun record. And I think you get that with some of the lyrics as well. Some of them are just like nice little moments. There are kind of a few I picked out that I really liked, but I think on the whole, it's just like pretty solid lyrically. There are some nice visual metaphors, like you mentioned, James, and there are some like turns of phrase that I think are particularly nice, but I wouldn't say it's kind of, you know, hugely transformative or poetic, but I don't think it's necessarily like wanting to be or needing to be. The guitars throughout are really fantastic. We'll get into this more when we kind of pick out specific songs, but there are moments for certain hooks or riffs like coming in and out, and I think what they're quite good at, and they do it on a couple of songs, is building kind of tension and playing with that, which like makes listening to the songs interesting. I think then, because that's not necessarily sustained on every track, I then did get a little bit of fatigue, like you, James, where I was like, oh, okay. Not that I needed all of the songs to do that. There are a couple of softer moments on the album that I think work really well, and that also adds as a bit of a change of pace, which I think is appreciated. But yeah, I think there are some songs where I was kind of like, it's just maybe not quite as solid, and it then disrupts the flow of the album. But yeah, definitely overall, I liked it a lot. And it's, if you're looking for that kind of rock, pop rock, that kind of thing, and you want something that's firmly within that, but is doing enough experimentation to sustain your interest, then I think this is a really solid album for doing that. And it's got some, yeah, like I said, some nice softer moments as well to kind of balance it. I think overall, really like decent album that I enjoyed listening to this week.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to this one. And like I think both of you have said, it's just a really fun album from start to finish. I think the vocals do take a bit of getting used to, and they do have that quite kind of harsh, slightly grainy kind of quality to them. But I kind of settled into that through the album. I think the production is something to note, because, I mean, they're very much rooted, and their whole sound is this like 70s hard rock type thing, and that kind of links in with the production as well, where it does, if you listen at kind of normal volumes on a modern system, it sounds maybe a little bit like tinny and lacking low end. Like, it is an album that you have to crank to make it sound good. It just doesn't work like it in the normal kind of modern kind of expectations of kind of where you should have the volume level set at, you do have to turn it up. So that's my big recommendation, is listen to this loud and on a decent set of speakers or headphones. The one thing I'd add is, I think particularly comparing this to their older stuff, and their debut I really liked, and it kind of had more disco influences. This one feels a lot more soul influenced, and I got, like James, you mentioned the bass lines. In a lot of moments, they feel quite like Motown-ish to me. I think in the vocals and in some of the guitar parts as well, I really liked those additions of those extra bits, because it makes it feel, you know, less like it's this kind of 70s. Well, I mean, it's still like a 70s throwback, but it's not just focusing on this kind of one thing. I did also find the second half maybe a bit less engaging, and I think that's mostly rooted around Mechanical Garden, which is just kind of a big change of pace. I don't think it's a bad track. It's just a lot slower than I'm used to from them, and a lot slower than the rest of the album. So it just feels like kind of a bit of a shift. And then the rest of the second half kind of speeds back up again. But I think that position in the album is probably the ideal one for it, because I think if you put it later, it'd feel like you were slowing down right towards the end. But yeah, I think I'll see in the long run if I actually kind of warm to how the album runs through, but that's kind of the one issue I have with it. But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it. It's just a kind of loud, fun record with, I think, mostly really good songwriting and great guitar parts.
Yeah, Will, you mentioned there about the Motown influence. And we mentioned the amalgamation of all these genres and how it's fun. And I think one track that highlights that is Moonstruck, which is just before Mechanical Garden. But yeah, you just really feel like the bass guitar is having a lot of fun here. And yeah, it gets into that Motown inspiration. And yeah, the guitar as well is doing that sort of same thing. But then later on, and the guitar is doing things like metal runs. I don't really know. It's just like these, it's kind of in the background, but it's doing this really like fast picking, which is kind of unexpected for what like the first half of the song was doing. But I feel like this mixture of everything really works well, and they did it well.
Another track that I feel like went really far into the kind of soul and pop feel is All Lined Up, where, I mean, just from the opening, it just has that sense, and then going through, and again, great bass lines, and yeah, another great song.
Well, you mentioned about needing to listen to this album loudly, which, yeah, I completely agree with. And there were also a lot of the tracks I was like, oh, I think this would be a really fun experience to hear live. Like, a lot of them feel kind of engineered to be performed live. Particularly I felt that with the second track on the album, Eat It and Beat It, which was one of my favorites on the album overall. But there's real moments where it's kind of what I mentioned earlier with like building tension. It builds to something and you think it's going to go one way, and then it pulls back, and then suddenly you've got this like guitar that comes in and you're like, oh, okay, I thought we'd push that to the side, but we're back again. And there are kind of moments where you almost, when I was first listening to it, I almost had to kind of go and then check the track to be like, oh, are we still on this song or have we transitioned into a new song? But then suddenly it would pull it back to that kind of hook, which is really catchy, that kind of comes through throughout. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a really kind of well-written song in that respect, that it kind of had a real journey through it. But yeah, those moments where I was like, oh, are we on a new song now? It would then have something that kind of mirrored something earlier in the song. So even when it was going in a different direction, it still felt cohesive. And yeah, I really liked that. It's also just like a fun song to kind of listen to, like lyrically as well. I guess kind of talking about like a breakup and things like that, the way it talks about it is dismissive feels too harsh, but in a kind of way of like, well, you know, that's done now, rather than a kind of very lamenting woe is me breakup track, or a really I hate you, this is over breakup track. It's somewhere in between where it's like, well, this is, you know, it's not ideal, but we are where we are. Let's crack on. And yeah, I enjoyed that. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I really like that aspect of it, that it's kind of this breakup song that's kind of quite level-headed, actually. But that doesn't make it boring. It still, like, has a real interest to what's going on lyrically. And yeah, I like that it went in different directions, because you do, obviously, the song is kind of rooted around the kind of hard rock stuff, but then you get that kind of roomy breakdown with bongos at the end, and it's like a very different sound, with like the guitar, like the lead guitar line that's playing just sounds very airy, like, and whereas on a lot of the rest of the album you don't get that sense of this existing within a space, because it is just like it feels like you've got like a Marshall stack just blasting you the whole time. It feels like you're a bit more like in that venue, and there's something like the guitar's actually playing somewhere over there, and it just, I don't know, it felt almost like shifting the scene for me, almost, just because of the way that they'd done it, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed this song. Like, this is the first song that reminded me of the Allman Brothers Band. Yeah, there was this song, there was, if I quickly look at my notes, track 4, Don't Come Looking, and yeah, some other tracks as well. I mean, that's not the only band that does that sort of music or did that sort of music, but yeah, I just kept coming back to them. Even though this song in particular goes into different directions, where I hear hints of like Black Sabbath and Metallica at some points, even if it's just for a second, which yeah, it just made it really interesting and maybe made me want to listen to more of it. It was just a fun song in general, like plenty of the tracks on this album.
Yeah, Don't Come Looking was another one of my favorites, where it has like a bit more of a bluesy sound to it than some of the other stuff, and there's like a clean rhythm guitar in the background that is almost like folky to kind of go along with it. I liked it being a bit like drawing from those influences too. And just the chorus on that one, I think, is really, really catchy, and the melody is really well done.
Another one of my favourites, primarily because of the lyrics, is Tea on the Kettle, which comes in the latter half of the album. And almost, I want to say it has like a power ballad energy without being a power ballad, which I wasn't expecting, and I really enjoyed, particularly coming at that kind of near the close of the album. But most what I loved was the lyrics with this one, where it's talking about love and a relationship, but in a way that's rooted in real domesticity and realism. There's, you know, lyrics like, as long as I got a biscuit, you've got half of all I have to share, which I was like, that's just so nice. Like, just even just the act of like, just, oh, well, I've got a biscuit, so obviously I'm going to split that with you. And then it's talking about kind of someday when we can find more than pennies and dimes, we'll go somewhere gentle. And it's just that the kind of whole tone of the song is, yeah, we don't have a lot, but like what we do have, we're sharing. And, you know, maybe one day when we have a bit more, we can go somewhere gentle. We can have something really, really special. It's not even saying like, oh, one day we're going to be millionaires and it's going to be class. It's just like, yeah, okay, maybe one day we won't have to count every penny. Which I was like, that's just, it's very sweet. And I liked that it had that sweetness without being like saccharine, like super cheesy, corny, where you're like, oh, no, thank you. It's sweet and it's gentle. But because it has that realism to it, it doesn't feel, I don't know, like uncomfortably twee to listen to, which, yeah, I really enjoyed. And yeah, like I said, I felt like its placement on the album as well worked really well.
Yeah, I thought it was a great track. And I think you've gone over it really well there. The first time I listened to it, I just spent the whole song trying to figure out if it was a drum machine or actual drums. I'm pretty convinced it's a drum machine, because at one point there's that Roland, very like signature Roland maraca that comes in. But it's like, it's produced in the same way as all of the normal drums, so it kind of blends in, but it does have that slightly more kind of robotic and consistent feel.
We were talking about the lyrics, or not the lyrics. We were talking about the vocals earlier, about how you needed the song to be played and maybe a bit louder for them to like come through a bit more. I think I Got to Go, track 5, is kind of, it highlights that a bit for me, and not in a great way. I've written down that the vocals sound like they've been sung through a tin can, because it has that like trebliness, it has that like harshness to it, and yeah, I could tell it's kind of going for that old-timey. I think old-timey is too much of an old. It's going way back, but you know, it's going for that classic sound. But yeah, it just didn't quite work for me. Maybe I needed to play it louder, but I did enjoy the guitars, and then the fuzzy sound that they had, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. It's like, you know, the like little Fender Tweed amps from like the 50s, like the little Champs, like those amps don't sound good because they sound like that. They sound like really trebly and horrible until you turn them up to max and it's like ear bleedingly loud. But then they sound like amazing because it's just doing that thing. I feel like it's similar here. I did think when I saw that they'd signed to Third Man for it, that maybe this would be kind of the one where they go, right, we're kind of putting that production style to bed, and we're still going to be us, we're going to do our sound, but it's going to sound modern and like an album coming out in the 2020s. But it seems like that's not the way they want to go, and they're kind of happy with this sound. And I think over time it's grown on me that I've just kind of come to accept that this is how it is, and they're just maybe not a band I'm going to even go to if I'm not willing to kind of turn the volume up quite a bit.
Yeah, I think there is something quite special about them having like committed to that sound, because I think you then get those like very obvious callbacks to certain periods of like music production and things like that. So you're kind of forced to make those like connections, which I think is interesting. But yeah, I do think it's a little like, on some tracks it is a little bit more of an acquired taste, but it definitely gives them that kind of unique tone, which, you know, that's always nice when they're kind of doing something that's like a bit different. And I always like when there's an acknowledgement of the history behind music. I think that works really nicely as well, and because as well the kind of this the way they're using it in conjunction with, you know, like that real 70s hard rock influence and things like that, the way it all comes together, I do like that. I kind of said earlier that like a lot of the songs I think would work really well live. I would also just be interested to hear how they would perform some of the songs live in terms of like the kind of equipment they would use. I think it would just be interesting to see how that goes, and also how loud it would be at a gig of theirs. I feel like you should be wearing like earplugs anyway to protect your ears, but I feel like you definitely need them for them. But it would be a good time.
I feel like they would be really, really great live, to be honest. Like bands back in those days, the ways they recorded in the studio was kind of similar to the ways they just played live anyway. So yeah, I feel like they sound like they have a good energy to them as well. So yeah, I would love to hear them live.
Yeah, I was actually interested in this, so I looked up a bit before we started recording. So they're a four piece, so there's only one guitarist, And just listening to some videos on YouTube, that does mean that you don't get the nice kind of rhythm guitar with a lead over the top, because obviously you're getting only the one. And I thought the kit was interesting, because obviously just the sound immediately obviously makes me think of Marshall, at least, you know, just because that's what that era kind of used primarily, right, in the 70s. But their lead guitarist seems to mostly be using a Nashville Tele, which I think it kind of makes sense for how kind of like shrill a lot of the parts are. I don't mean that in a bad way, but that's just kind of how it sounds. I'm saying this from memory now. I think he said this was for their previous album, so maybe something's changed, but he was using a Marshall JTM 60 watt combo, which, I mean, a 60 watt valve combo, that would be properly like loud. And he said the rest of the parts were done on a Fender DeVille, I think, so like a 2x12, again, like big wattage amp, but obviously probably a bit cleaner than the Marshall. Yeah, that's it for Will's Gear Corner.
always love to have a little Will's Gear Corner segment thrown in.
One thing I want to bring up is track 11. There's one sound which I feel stupid for not recognizing the instrument. I'm like, is that a cowbell? Like, this is one little ding that goes ding, ding, ding. Sounds like a cowbell.
I want to have a listen now.
But it doesn't sound as metal as a cowbell.
Yeah, that's a cowbell. I reckon it's just been recorded way off the mic.
Okay.
Like someone's just playing it in the background of one of the other parts.
Well, there's a cowbell, which is cool.
We do love a cowbell.
I really loved your impression of the cowbell, James. That was special.
Yeah, I don't know how else to mimic a cowbell apart from ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a sound a human can kind of make.
I feel like it's more of a... It's a... I can't do it. I thought I might have a decent go, but no.
It was an effort. You did well.
Yeah,
It was an effort.
Something happened there. You know. There was definitely a noise.
Sound came out.
The one final note I've made about the album is, in Mechanical Garden, I wrote, this is a weird Tango in the Night bit. Speeding up. Which I feel like represents my experience with that track. I just wasn't hugely sure what was going on.
I want to say I have the exact same thing written down, but admittedly I don't. I need to listen back through it.
Yeah, I just have written down that it's. I put down that they're experimenting, but I don't know what with or how. I didn't really know what to make of it as a track. It's not that I disliked it, but I also wasn't like, wow, this is my favourite. I was just kind of like, what's happening? What's going on?
Right, shall we wrap up our review? Let's rank the album. Currently, the album ranking stand as at number 9, Sprints with Letter to Self. Number 8, Glass Beach with Plastic Death. Number 7, Golfer with Third Wind. Number 6 is Spiel by Office Dog. Number 5, No Place Like Home by Vacations. Number 4, Omni with Souvenir. Number 3, Helado Negro with Phasor. Number 2 is MGMT with Loss of Life. And at number 1, Katie Kirby with Blue Raspberry. Where would we like to put Playing Favourites by Sheer Mag? I think I'd put this at number 4, maybe. I think I might end up listening to Vacations more, just because it's fun. But I'll end up listening to songs from that album more, rather than the whole album, I think. Because I think this one is more consistent. And yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised, because I was kind of expecting to enjoy it, but to be like, okay, it's more Sheer Mag, particularly based on the first single, the title track. Which, by the way, I didn't mention, but I feel like that's the one point where the lyrics maybe go a bit too far into 70s cheese, where they start calling out the days of the week.
Yeah. Like,
come on now.
Yeah, that did. Yeah. I was a bit worried then because that is the opening track. I was like, oh, is this lyrically going to be representative of the whole album? Which I don't think it is, which was nice. Yeah, I was like, okay.
No, it gets better.
Are we learning the days of the week? I think I'm pretty similar to you, Will, in terms of where I want to rank it. My hesitation is because I do think, especially going into summer, I will listen to Vacations more just because it's a sunny album. whereas I don't think this one is confined to a season. Take that as you will. I think there are kind of individual tracks on this one that are perhaps stronger. And I think maybe it's more fun. So I think I will put it above Vacations. I don't know if I'd put it up above Omni though. Maybe I'm going to hit at number 5.
Simply put it, I prefer it over Vacations and I don't like it as much as Omni. So number 5.
Succinct.
Well, that's easy enough. Playing Favourites is going in at number 5. Right, upcoming releases this week. There are a few albums coming out that you might be interested in. First off, Empress Of is releasing a new record called For Your Consideration. I really liked one of her albums a few years back. It might now be very many years back because the pandemic makes it hard to figure out when things were, but... yeah, she's done good stuff in the past, so I'll check this one out. Jaylin, the Footwork producer, is releasing a new record called Acoma. I've never really like clicked with her stuff in the past, but I'm kind of hoping this will be the one because I feel like that's a style of music that on paper I should really like, but I've just never like had the artist that's really like done it for me, but we'll see. Waxahachie is releasing a new album. It's called Tiger's Blood. That's maybe one to check out if you're more into indie rock. And finally, Francis of Delirium are releasing their debut album. It's called Lighthouse. They've released some kind of exciting, interesting EPs in the past, so this could be a new band to check out. That's it for upcoming releases, and that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Cheers.
Thank you.
If you like the show, you can subscribe on your podcast service of choice to get new episodes, which come out every Monday. If you're likely to forget, you can turn on notifications in most podcast apps. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at unmutedunmastered@gmail.com. I can now announce that the album for next week is... Dancer with 10 Songs I Hate About You.
I'm so buzzed.